Quit smoking, start jogging, jog more, eat less. So goes the commonplace litany of New Year's resolutions made in hope of improving your chances of having a long and healthy life. But if you want to achieve these goals, consider improving your relationships, not the ones you click on in cyberspace, the ones you nurture face to face. This old-fashioned idea gets new support from Susan Pinker. She's a developmental psychologist and a renowned writer on emerging issues in social science, and she has amassed a wealth of research suggesting that virtual connections cannot replace the value of warm-blooded human interaction. That's a phenomenon she calls the village effect, which is also the title of her new book. Susan Pinker joins us by phone this morning to share some insights that may just help you tweak your New Year's resolutions. Welcome to the conversation, Susan.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so let's get right to it. A lot of people are weighing in on this debate about whether social media is eroding our ability to function well socially. But before I ask you for your argument in the abstract, can you share your real-life observations that you made in Sardinia, which led you to formulate this village effect?
Yes, well, that's one of the main stories I tell in this book. I went to Sardinia to investigate the phenomenon of super longevity, especially in men, because all over the world, I discovered from my last book, women live longer than men do, about 5 to 7 years, except in this part of the Mediterranean, an isolated island. And I went there with my daughter in 2008 to investigate why. And the stories that I investigated there really touched me, and so did the science, because men are 6 times as likely to live to 100 as men anywhere else in the world. And, you know, they're completely integrated into their communities, unlike what happens here as we get older, where, as George Burns said, happiness is having a large, loving, caring, close-knit family in another city. There, people stay and look after their aging relatives in a way that I'd never seen before.
So the essence of this village effect, it sounds like it has a lot to do with those simple virtues of empathy, pulling people together when in times of adversity, and in good times also having more resources, human resources, to get by. Is that the essence of the village effect?
Well, the village effect is a metaphor for the kind of social contact that we all need to survive and thrive. Because, for example, if you get together regularly with a circle of friends to eat, play cards, share gossip, you'll live an average of somewhere between 5 and 15 years longer than loners will. And people really don't realize this. This is completely new information, and it really changed my life as I researched this book.
So these things that you mentioned, like, you know, getting together, playing cards, simple hugs, small talk, these are also things that cannot be monetized. And can that be part of the reason why they're not on our radar or of less value in a consumer society? While meantime, those things that keep us in our silos apart, those things are very cleverly marketed, yeah?
Well, the paradox is that we're now more hyper-connected than we ever were before, but we've never been lonelier. So in the early 80s, for example, when people, nobody had smartphones or laptops or tablets, and the computer trend was just beginning, the average number of people we could lean on and talk to and confide in was 3. But now the surveys tell us that we have less than 2 people we can lean on, and about 20% of Americans say they have absolutely nobody to talk to. And in 1985, that figure was 8%. So really, 2 things are happening at once. We're becoming more connected through our gadgets, and we're becoming less connected in person through face-to-face contact. And I would say that it's not that, you know, the gadgetry is bad, but that it is displacing the kind of in-person contact that we've evolved to benefit from as human beings.
So you're not saying that necessarily that this engagement with the screen per se is harmful, but it's just that we engage alone so much, right?
Yeah, for example, kids spend an average of 7 hours in front of a screen now, and that's often time spent alone. And the money that we used to spend on, say, education or extracurricular activities is now being spent on gadgets. So I do warn about that in the book, and I do tell the story of what kind of benefits you can see if you actually engage with people face-to-face. And you just can't get that online, because the digital dilemma is such that it's great for sharing information, it's fabulous for logistics, we all know, but it's just not that great for deepening human connections or engendering trust.
Susan, can you? I know that you apply this village effect not only in the home and you know, in schools, as you just mentioned, but also in the workplace. Can you give us some examples of how the village effect would have a positive influence in the workplace?
Well, Liza, you know, there's an experiment that I'd like to describe just briefly where actually they use technology to measure how people interacted on their breaks because, you know, many businesses now function almost completely online. And there was a study done of call center agents where they wore what are called sociometric badges that tracked who they were talking to on their breaks and how engaged they were. Now, typically, call centers have staggered breaks so that people who work together aren't on break at the same time. But what happened was in this experiment, they took 25,000 call center agents and they divided them in two. They had some that went on break with their teams and some that went on the traditional staggered breaks. And through these sociometric badges, which are, they look like an iPhone and you wear them around your neck, they found that the more people talked to their colleagues on their breaks, the more productive they were when they went back to work. So they kind of traded, you know, little bits of information that not only made them feel good, and I explain the science in the book about why we feel better and function better when we interact face-to-face, but it actually improved their performance, especially weak teams' performance, by 20%.
Okay, so this...
I mean, I think few people know that.
This is an ongoing conversation, certainly a hotly debated one, too, and we need to continue it sometime, Susan. Thank you very much. It sounds like, from what you just said, that we just can't get away from things like the old-fashioned golden rule, altruism, looking after one another, right?
And doing it in person, Liza.
Okay, thank you very much. Susan Pinker is a Montreal-based developmental psychologist who writes about social science. Her latest book is The Village Effect. Her work has also been featured in the New York Times, the Atlantic Monthly, and the BBC. And now right here on The Conversation. For links to her writings, go to hpr2.org.